Heavenly Father, to all the glory and all the praise belongs to you. Lord, in these moments we share together, we ask for your presence, for your guidance. Spirit of God, open our eyes to what we need to see as we focus upon your word. Lord, receive this worship. We are so grateful, Lord. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. 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 You guys can have a seat. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you're glad to be here. I certainly am. Did you know? I like when someone starts with that because it grabs my attention. Did you know 70 years ago this week at 8443 2nd Avenue South, we celebrated our first church service? Yeah, that's worth clapping for, and it's worth celebrating. This campus is 70 years old, and we are celebrating a happy birthday this week. That's pretty cool, isn't it? What were you doing 70 years ago? Think about all of the people that have been transformed on this place. And what God has been doing through here and from here. I want you to think about that for a minute because it's pretty incredible to consider. I don't care if it's your first day here, and if it is your first day here, I'm glad you're here, or you've been here 70 years, or anything in between, right? Okay? This is worth celebrating, and I just consider for a second all that God has been doing and will be doing as we move forward, because I tell you what, we've been born with this desire in our heart to be a part of a collective, something that God is doing, something that only He can fulfill. And I want to talk a little bit about what it looks like to fit in within the church and what that means for each one of us as we open up a new sermon series on spiritual gifts, specifically discovering your spiritual gifts. But let me begin here, because I have a few questions for you as we get started. You know, there's something inherent within us that draws us to be a part of community and belonging. And I don't know about you, but I think the world is clamoring for, they are hoping for, they are seeking out purpose and community and belonging. Wouldn't you agree? And so many people are looking in all the wrong places and trying to connect with a number of things that are never going to fulfill this longing in our hearts. And let me start by saying where we fit in matters, and what we fit into matters the most, no matter if you're in high school or middle school, okay? Like, seriously, we all want to fit in, do we not, just by show of hands, in one way or another, right? Just walk into a room where you're not welcome and tell me how you feel, right? Just think about the groups of people you find yourself around and what you do to look the part or act the part or be the part, and you'll know, yes, you have this desire to fit in. I'm excited to get into this new theme, discovering your spiritual gifts. But as we get started and introduce this topic, I want you to consider this theme or this phrase or this truth, and it is this: everyone in Christ has a place in the body. Okay, now if you don't even understand what that means, or you've already discovered your spiritual gifts, I want you to focus here for a second, because I want you to consider what that means. It means that everyone who knows Christ and is in Christ has a relationship with God, has a place within His church. And of course, I'm not talking about a building or a campus, right? I'm talking about the people, the collective of what we are and who we are. As we begin today, I'm going to ask this question. It's the title of the sermon: where do I fit in? I want you to consider that. Where do I fit in? And I'd like you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, as we look at a few things that the Apostle Paul encouraged the church at Ephesus as he was sitting imprisoned in Rome. And what he is saying here, just for a little background to the text, is, I can't get out, I'm incarcerated a long ways away, so you're going to need to pick up where I left off. That's kind of what he's saying. And so he begins in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 1 with this. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. If we're to go another 70 years, Emmaus, or for that matter, another day, how are we encouraged to walk? Think about that for a second. How are we encouraged to walk? You saw the little list there, didn't you? What was the first thing? What was it? You can give me some feedback. You can say it out loud. In humility, in gentleness, right? Bearing with one another. You know what that means? It means we're going to go through some things. And sometimes it's not going to be easy, but it's this very biblical word, long-suffering. We need to get through it. We need to work through it. That's right. If we're going to go another 70 years, or for that matter, we're going to have to heed this encouragement from the Apostle Paul. We see in verse 2, humility and gentleness and patience. You know, we've been talking about over the last number of weeks that there is an enemy that does not want us to accomplish what God has set out for us. And no, he will not win. Okay, we know the end, all right, but he is certainly at work. And maybe we can take some comfort in the fact that when you're being attacked, you must be doing something right, amen, right? However, although we know the end, there will be difficulty in the meantime, isn't there going to be? And that's what we're seeing in the world today. There is an enemy at work, and one of the ways he keeps us from moving forward is by creating a culture that is opposite of what we read here. And what is opposite of what we read here? It's being prideful. It's being harsh. It's being quick to judge. It's being inconsiderate. It's wanting our own thing. It's seeking revenge. It's being divided. Isn't it telling that the Apostle Paul had to remind the church at Ephesus this as he was talking about spiritual gifts? They must be dangerous. Or maybe they're just that important. I want to continue to be a church that's eager to maintain our gentleness and our unity and our bond of peace. Do you want that too? I hope you do. I want to be a church that is eager to maintain unity. And that's what it looks like to walk in a manner worthy of the, what does it say? The calling. We are not, just hear this as I talk about this word calling. We are not a result of random chances, our world tells us we are. We are a part of a collective that God has designated and formed to fulfill His greater purposes through Him. No one is overlooked. Each of us has been given special ability for the greater good. Believe me, it's very clear in the text here, and we're going to unpack this here. Now, just so that we don't understand, let's start with this term worthy, because this is really important here. The term worthy is something that some people are a little bit afraid of, and let me explain what I mean by that. What it actually means here is equal value. It's not speaking of earning our salvation or earning our value with God. Paul is speaking to believers. God could not love you more than He does right now. Your performance doesn't change His heart towards you. But as we begin a new sermon series on spiritual gifts, I want to be careful in the way I communicate our part or our work within the body of Christ. Because hear me now. We are not connected to God based upon what we do or not do. The work and the performance and the perfection of the call of God is found in the work and the performance of Jesus and what He has done for us. and what He is doing in us and through us. There are not elite Christians and non-elite Christians, Christians with spiritual gifts and Christians without spiritual gifts. That is not what we read here. Let me just warn you, there are far too many Christians who live with the weight of, when I am a better person, I'll fit in, or I will be fruitful when I get to a certain point or reach a certain age. Now, what did Jesus teach His disciples? Now, of course, later on He would inform them of the Spirit, His own Spirit that would be with Him and go with them. But what did He say to His disciples while He was here on earth with them? He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. You got it. See, we know this. We know this. He is the vine and we are the branches. And the branches bear fruit if they're connected to the vine. It's all in Him. So when it says walk in a manner worthy, the believer maintains unity in the bond of peace because we're connected with Him. The believer lives out the call of God when we're connected to Him. His righteousness is our righteousness. He is worthy, and that's why we're worthy. So we establish that foundation. Is that okay? I think we'll pause there for a second and consider this. We all struggle to believe that it's not on our effort or our own effort that we do the work of what Jesus has called us to. And let me prove this to you. Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm not doing enough? Anyone? Have you ever thought to yourself, they think I'm not doing enough? That's why they keep doing those videos on plugging in. That's why they keep asking for volunteers, right? Or maybe I'll phrase it this way. Have you ever done something begrudgingly because you didn't want that feeling that, well, if I say no, I'll just be feeling guilty all weekend, so I'll just say yes? Anyone? I work at the church and I do that all the time. Okay? Anyway, I believe one of the reasons so many Christians have lost their passion for the collective church gathering, it's not because they're unwilling, it's not because they have a bad attitude, it's not that they don't want to plug in and be a part of something. No, it's inherent within us that we want to be a part of something. Rather, it's a lack of finding our place and purpose, number one. And that usually happens when we try to live the Christian life on our own efforts rather on the Spirit's leading. Do you agree? It's such a problem. It's something that we face every day. Let me explain even further. The key to understanding your role or your place in the body of Christ is not more knowledge, not more effort. We will use tools during this sermon series and this study to help us discover our spiritual gifts. But it's not that will really help us discover our spiritual gifts. The key to discovering your role and your spiritual gift is found in a heart that is fully surrendered to the finished and the completed work of Jesus on the cross and the victory that we already possess in His resurrection. So let me ask you, did Jesus rise from the grave? Did He stand before His disciples and proclaim the victory face to face? Did He commission them to go and make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Did He do that? So therefore, what the Apostle Paul is encouraging the Ephesian church, he is encouraging us the same. Let me show you in verse 4 of our passage. Go there with me. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And he's going to go on later and say, and has accomplished all. But let's start here. We each have a unique role, but it's all for a singular purpose. It's all for a singular purpose. Think about the picture that we're given here. It's the picture of the body, pretty simple. It's a picture of legs and hands and arms and feet all living out their natural role. The body is called to do different functions, and we will have different functions. Things will look differently on this side than on this side with one person or another person. But one of the things that's inherently difficult with being a body is that you have a leg that wants to be an arm that wants to be an ear, and a nose that wants to be eyes. Or you have arms that think they're less important than legs, or legs that think they're more important than arms. So it's natural to consider that the different roles won't always get along, and the different roles will struggle, and that, of course, is what happens in a fallen world. I think we all know that. But it's a good picture. It's a good picture of how God gives gifts, and they look differently, but they all act for one accord, for the glory of Christ, for one purpose, for one place. Look at verse 7 as we continue. Look what it says about our theme. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In other words, accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished. And therefore, in verse 11, it tells us, and he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, when we say saints, let's go back to what we said about being worthy. We are worthy because of Christ's righteousness, right? We're not saints outside of Christ, but in Christ we are saints, okay? And we are called, each one of us, to fit right in. And we only fit in if we are in Christ Jesus. It's all gospel-centered. It all happened at the cross. It all was completed in the resurrection. The power to live out the grace of God has been given to each of us, and to each one of us has been given a gift according to the measure that God gives us. Now, this is an important picture that he gives us, and it's a picture I want to show you. It's a picture of measurements. I have before me my wife's precious new measuring cup. Took me a second. Shows how much baking I do. He gives different measurements. Now, we don't fully understand this, and if we could fully understand everything that God is and has done, well, then he wouldn't be God. But it says he gives in different measurements, and we might have a problem with that, but that's what it says. And in fact, it makes sense, because arms can't be legs, and legs can't be arms, right? This is Pastor Kevin's. I'm somewhere over here. You guys in the balcony, you're... I'm kidding, relax. Oh my word. Don't leave. There's hot dogs after, don't leave. No, seriously, he gives different measurements. And it's not something we always fully grasp and understand, and yet the point is clear that each one has a fit. And if you don't fit, it's not that you didn't have a place. It's that you're giving in to the schemes of the enemy that say, yours is not that important. You ever thought to yourself, I'm not qualified? Have you ever said to yourself, I don't know if I'm needed? I think we've all said that in one way or another. And all the same, just as if we thought that we were God's gift to everyone in the church, that on both ends of the spectrum is a fleshly way of looking at it. It's a carnal way of looking at it. Because it's very clear that God gives grace. And in verse 7 it says that grace was given to each one. What does each one mean? It means each one. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then it goes on to say, as I just read in verse 8 and 9, that he accomplished everything. And at first it seems as though it's a bit confusing what is being said, but what it really is saying is quite simple, and that is he already won the victory. He already accomplished everything. In fact, he wants us along for the ride, so to speak, a part of this adventure, church, because that is what God does. He wants to be connected to us, and that's the whole point. It's all about relationship with him. So where you fit in Christ is where you fit in the church. Where you fit in the church is where you fit in with Christ. Am I confusing you? I'm confusing myself. Anyway. The word picture given here of the measuring cups in the body, it is really quite simple. You all have a place, and that place is in relationship with God. It begins in relationship with God. It begins with the foundation and the understanding that Christ paid the victory, that he completed all things. When he sat on the cross, it was finished. He did accomplish what was holding us back. What was keeping us from experiencing fulfillment and restoration in this life, all the things that bind us and keep us from moving forward as a church, and it is finished means that we have been forgiven and we have been restored past tense, and our future belongs a hope in which one day we will be standing before him. And forgiven and restored one day completely in heaven, we will be standing with our Creator God in perfect relationship. But he calls us to be a part of something on this earth in the present, because more and more people need to hear the same message of grace that he calls each and every one of us to. And so it's important that we understand our own gifts, so that we too can be a part of what he is seeking to fulfill, so that more and more people can live and love like Jesus and be a part of this eternal relationship with him. So please understand, church, the enemy does not want you fitting in here. You hear that? He does not want you fitting in here. He does not want you using your measure of grace, no matter what size, okay? But he does not want you fitting in here, but God does, of course. Fitting together, getting along, being more effective, all of those things. So here's what I want you to consider as we close. That's right, you're shocked, because usually I preach a lot longer, okay? So here is what I want us to consider. How do I deal with the fact that I want to do the Christian life on my own effort so often? Second thing, how might I better connect to him so therefore I will be better connected to the collective, the church, so that I can live in the blessing that God has made me for and desire to work in and through me? Well, we're going to get into the details in the coming weeks as we get into the sermon series, but here are some things I want us to consider, and I'm just going to start by saying, don't get mad at me for saying them, okay? All right? You can smile, though. I'm going to start with our online and streaming church. You can listen and you can be online, and that's good. In fact, we want you to be. In fact, we want you to get this content any day of the week, any year, any time, okay? It's all good. But your disconnection to the body of Christ physically can hinder you from the blessing of intimate and natural fellowship. I just need you to hear that. We need, because there is something inherent within us, this need, we need real and tangible interaction, especially if we're going to reach the world for Christ. On the other hand, for those of us here who attend every service, our go-getters and our volunteers who plug into seemingly everything, if you're here and you think that the only way we're going to accomplish what God has set out to accomplish is by you just working harder and doing more and plugging into every place, then you need to be reminded as well that no performance and no work will ever accomplish what Christ has already accomplished. And that's an important reminder for each one of us to hear, because if we go another 70 years on our own efforts, hear this. If we go another 70 years on our own efforts, we might accomplish something. I mean, you don't need to be a Christian to do good things. There are a lot of places that are doing good and kind and loving things without Jesus. But we are not about earthly and temporal and short-lasting accomplishments. Instead, we are called to something lasting and eternal in Christ Jesus. Something that makes an eternal difference in the life of all of us, and that God is calling us to reach and love and connect with here and now. And that's why we are directed to move forward, church, in gentleness and humility and unity, eager to maintain the bond of peace. And that's why God has called each and every one of us to fit into what He is doing collectively so that we can accomplish the work. It's not that the work cannot be accomplished without you. It's that you have the privilege to be a part of the work. Amen? So therefore, I pray, I hope that you would consider these words. As we close here, I want you to stand with me. And I want us as a congregation to pray together for our upcoming year. We kind of take this time to kick off a new season of work, you could say, where our activities increase in our kind of fall year. We take this time to kind of kick things off so that everyone is aware of what's going on, and everyone has a chance to be not only aware but be a part of what's going on. But we don't want to go any further, not take another step further, without considering that the enemy is not wanting us to move forward, and we need to lift up to God everything that's ahead. So I want to pray for everyone here. And everyone who's a part, whether you're a teacher or you're a home group leader or you're a host or you're an attendee of one, or you're going to sign up today for something, or you're going to take down chairs after, whatever it is you're a part of, I want to give this to the Lord and give our year to the Lord so that we would be prepared spiritually for what God is going to do and accomplish in and through us. And so I just ask you to bow your heads with me in prayer, as we seek to not only invite Him into what we're doing, but ask Him to lead us in every part of it. So, Heavenly Father, before our fellowship time outside, and before we might discover our role within the church, we ask you to lead and guide us as only you can. Holy Spirit, we ask you to take away the things in our lives, the distractions, the busyness, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, whatever it is, take away these things that are keeping us from knowing what you have for us, our purposes, our place. For Jesus, you promised that the work was finished and completed. And because of your work on the cross, you have won the victory and given us everything we need to live the Christian life So Lord Jesus, may we be a church that is centered around you, the good news of the gospel, that what you have done has been completed and accomplished, and what you're doing in and through us is for the work of our neighbor and our friend and those around us. May we be a community that seeks to be unified in the bond of peace so that we can be a light to those around us, so that more and more people can come into your kingdom, so that they can experience that same saving grace and eternal life that can only be found in your name. Lord Jesus, may this be our goal. May this be our focus. Our message is you, Jesus, and may you invigorate us and renew us, not in our own efforts. That only brings burnout, but may you renew us in your spirit so that we would see your kingdom come and your will done on earth. So, Lord Jesus, as we respond in faith, we ask this in your name. Amen.